Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Well, good morning, everyone. Film Festival Radio, this Tuesday, October 27th, as we continue on with our chat with many of the performers and singers from The Voice. It's the knockout round, 2015 portion of the show. A lot of people got knocked out. Some people are still making it, going on through to the live rounds. And so we'll be chatting with some of them today and tomorrow, and we chatted with some yesterday, so I'm going to catch those from the archives. And we'll start off this morning. We'll be talking with Shelby Brown, followed by Corinne Bukowski, Morgan Fraser, then Emily Ann Roberts, Summer Chappelle, Nadja Nicole, Amy Bashal, I have to ask about that, Victor Corrali, and Braden Sunshine. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and talk to the twins, Andy and Alex. Unfortunately, they were eliminated. So the eliminations last night, Andy and Alex, Ellie Lawrence, and my surprise, that was eliminated, Blind Joe. Also, Chance Pena was eliminated last night as well. I was just very, very surprised that Blind Joe was eliminated, but hey, I think he's going to have a really good career, especially with all of this exposure. Okay, good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? Do we have our first guest here?
Hi.
Are you there? There you are. Hopefully.
Hello.
We got the little, there you are, Shelby. Hi, Shelby. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Okay, what did you think of last night's show?
Last night's show was incredible. I'm, like, blown away every week, every episode. You never know what to expect, and it was phenomenal last night.
Yeah, and as everybody saw, you won over Amanda. How shocking was that?
That was, like, completely, like, I was so nervous. I had a huge knot in my stomach, and, you know, it could have gone either way, and I was super, super nervous.
So you guys sang Edge of 17. Was that your first time doing that song ever?
That was my first time performing the song. I listen to the song all the time, but I'm a country singer, so I generally don't perform rock songs, so that was my first time performing it, but it was a lot of fun.
So, hey, that really stretches your talent to, you know, let the world, let yourself know that you can also do rock and, I guess, pretty much any style that you want to. But you are, you know, people forget, you know, they see how talented you guys are, that you're only 16. And, you know, representing the team quite well, 16 seeing the age of 17, that's a nice twist right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, okay, you're still in high school, and so what is life now like for you as a 16-year-old, now that you've had The Voice behind you?
I think I kind of have a little bit of a different experience. Instead of coming home and going back to a normal school and all of this unfolding, I'm an online student. So I just do all my schoolwork online. I don't actually interact with other students, but I went to a base high school, and I've gotten a lot of people from my old school, like, they're coming to my shows now and everything. So it's been crazy. I've gotten a lot of support since I've been home.
Okay. Now, you live in Alberta, Alabama. Where is that close to, the main city? Alberta. Okay. Where is it close
to? It's about 18 miles from Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, right on the shore of Alabama. I'm actually originally from Orange Beach, so.
Oh, beach town. Okay, it's beautiful there. The beach is beautiful.
Yeah, we've got some sandy white beaches.
And so I saw the notes that at one time you were, your main place, your main venue was singing in the bowling alleys. Is that still going on or what?
Yeah, I've been doing shows every Thursday there at the bowling alley. It's always going to be home to me, and I love going back and performing it.
Well, hey, I know you are definitely filling up those bowling alleys for sure.
Yeah,
but
they've been taking reservations and everything. It's crazy.
Oh, man, yeah. So did they have viewing parties at the bowling alley for you when things first started or what?
Yeah, they host viewing parties every Monday and Tuesday, whether I'm on or not, and I haven't been able to attend any of those. We like to kind of stay home as a family and watch the show here where it's quiet, but I've heard that a lot of people show up and a lot of people are rooting me on there.
So, I mean, even though you're only 16, you've got your whole life ahead of you. What are your plans? Do you plan on going to college? Do you plan on still pursuing the music or doing both or what?
I'm definitely going to be pursuing music for the rest of my life, whether I'm just writing music, or I'm performing it. And I want to end up in Nashville. I've originally had plans to go to Belmont, but at this point, I really just don't know, like, what's going to happen. I'm kind of just going with the flow at this point.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to do it because who knew this time last year that you would be in this position? So what were you doing this time last year, late October of last year?
At this time last year, I was just starting to perform on my own, doing my own gigs. About this time last year, I was, I think, getting ready to play my first paying gig. So it's crazy to think that a year ago I was getting ready to do that, and now I'm going into the knockout rounds on The Voice. So that's insane.
That's pretty insane, yeah. That's pretty insane. So, do you still stay in touch with Amanda? Are you Twitter buddies or Facebook friends or what?
Oh, we talk all the time. We Snapchat all the time. I text her every day. We're super close, and I've missed her so much. She was hilarious to be around.
And so, how is she doing? She's okay?
She's doing great. She's doing great. I think she's working on some music, and she's doing her shows up in New York. She's doing great.
Okay. Well, maybe one day the two of you can team up and do a little duet gig together.
I hope so. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I think fans would really, really like that. I really think they should or would. So, okay. When all is said and done, and I know there must be hundreds of memories from participating and competing on this show. So what will be one or two of your standout memories after this time next year, so to speak?
Probably just the fact that I went out and was able to have a blind audition and to get four chairs. That's probably one of the most memorable. And, you know, also working with all of these, like, amazing icons. It's been a roller coaster, but it's been so fun. And that's what I have to remember at the end of the day, is that I'm having fun, and a lot of people my age don't get this opportunity, so I'm taking it and I'm running with it.
You are exactly right. A lot of people twice your age or three times your age do not get a chance to work with these four superstars plus this mega television show. But you've done it all at age 16. And, hey, if you decide to go to Belmont University, I've lived in Nashville, and Belmont is a top prestigious school, as you well know. So many top people in the entertainment industry have graduated from Belmont. So you will be in very good company if you decide to go there. So that's a good choice.
Yeah. Very good choice. I'm really looking into it.
So, okay, when you did your audition, your first very first audition, where did you go? Did you go to Atlanta, or where did you audition?
Yeah, I started out in Atlanta in February. So this has been a long journey.
This has been a very long journey. It's almost a year. Gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're part of your family here, so to speak. Well,
yeah.
Hey, this is not a bad family to be a part of, I think. I really think.
No.
So anyway, Shelby, they're telling me I need to wind it up. Is there any final remarks you want to say to people? Anything at all?
I think I'll leave you with that, you know, it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, if you have an opportunity, take it. And if you want to go to an open call, go, because you can't go wrong with doing that. You can't say you failed if you never tried.
That's absolutely correct. And that is coming from the mouth of a very talented teen, and she knows what she's talking about because you are in that position right now. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and we will continue to, support your social media pages and keep up and follow with you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, so much level of maturity to only be 16. Can you imagine what were we doing when we were 16? We were not competing on shows like The Voice. But that was Shelby Brown. And now we have Corinne Bukowski. Good morning, Corinne. Or is it Corinne? Hello, hello, hello. Oh, let's see what we got here. We've got some technical craziness going on. Let's bring on... okay, we got to bring her on. What's going on here? Hello, is this Corinne?
Hello.
There she is. Corinne, good morning. How are you
Yay.
This morning?
Cheers. I'm good, and you?
Well, you sound like you are just a bundle of energy that I need. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so you are just excited. You're representing Area Code 305 quite well there, you and Summer.
Oh.
Yeah, Team Gwen. So if you could just sum it all up, your experience of competing on The Voice, how would you describe it? Just sum it all up.
So, what I've said pretty much to everyone is it's just so surreal. Like, you know, it's all this anxiety that builds up to your performances. So once you get on stage, you kind of black out and you go on like autopilot.
Uh-huh.
So I don't remember any of my performances. But once you get off and you're sent home multiple times, you come back and it's like, what just happened? it's unbelievable. And it's so humbling to be surrounded by so many amazing singers. There's so much talent and so much experience among all of us that
yes.
I just feel humbled every day, and I feel so blessed every day to be here. I don't know, you just make so many lifelong friends as well. That's what a lot of people don't know is how well we all get along
uh-huh.
and how much of a family we become.
Well, I don't want to put you on the total spot, but just give me a couple of names of some competitors that you think will be lifelong friends you guys will be.
Oh, it's so hard. All of them. But
okay.
I love so many. I love Naja, and I love Jordan and Amy and Evan. They're just all such, you know, lovely, beautiful people, and they're just so great to be around, but all of them, really.
Well, that's good. That keeps the page, your contacts page, I should say, in your phone is just going to be packed with all of these.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Well, you know, in addition to having an amazing voice, I understand that you are a pre-med student, so I assume you've got plans of becoming a doctor, so you'll be a singing doctor or what?
I always had plans to be a doctor only because singing didn't seem like in the realm of possibilities. But now that it is, my world's been a little flipped upside down, so I'm trying to figure that all out right now. But,
oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, it was definitely something that I wanted to do in case this all didn't work out. It's a really still a difficult backup plan.
I think it is. I think it is. Well, this is all, you know, your A plan is working too. So it's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all.
Not too shabby.
Well, your parents are both musicians, and obviously they have given you a lot of great advice and tips on singing and the music industry. So has any of the advice your parents given you, has it been similar to what your team captain has given you or what?
Yeah, I mean, just being yourself up on stage and not trying to be someone else because you're the only you, you know, and that's what I love about this show is that they celebrate and show uniqueness and the individual. And I love that about this show. And my parents always, my whole life, have always told me just be who you are because that's special and, you know, God made you you. So I always like that and I always try to stick to it and just try not to be anyone else but myself.
Just you. Well, you're doing a very good job of being you, for sure, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, if so far, if there's anything that you could change about your time with the show, different outfits, would you change different song selections, or is there anything at all that you would change?
So far, no. I've been feeling pretty good about everything.
Yeah, well, hey, if it's working,
yeah.
If it's working, then that's all that counts there.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I love asking the contestants here, what was life like for you last year about this time, late October? What were you doing? Were you in college or what?
I was in college. I'm at the University of Miami. I was in school, and then I would work at a Halloween shop, actually, around this time.
Oh,
I was working at a Halloween
shop. A Halloween shop?
I have a hard time working with, not like in a bad way, just people, like around me. I'm not good with a lot of people around me. So I was like, maybe if I work in retail, I'll get better at social things. And I got worse.
Oh, no.
Retail's hard. Very difficult. You know, like screaming kids throwing stuff on the floor. I was like, children. I was at school working at a Halloween store.
And one year later, you know, a year later, Halloween time, you're on The Voice. Oh,
you gosh, honestly never know what's in store for you.
You really do not. So, since this is Halloween week and you've worked at the Halloween shop, are you going to do it up big for Halloween, or what are you going to do later this week?
I'm going to definitely wear a costume. I don't know if I have anywhere to go, but I'm going to put on a costume, that's for sure.
Have you decided on which one, which outfit, or what?
It's a weird choice between Gwen Stefani and a werewolf. Maybe a werewolf Gwen Stefani.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'll have to, if you go with that, you'll have to send Gwen a picture. You got to do a Snapchat and send it to her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she
pulls it off better. But.
Oh, that's going to be cute. I'd like to see that. So if people want to see what your Halloween costume is going to look like, how can they keep up with you and see all these pictures?
Well, you can keep up with me on my Twitter and my Instagram and my music Facebook page. It's just my name, Corinne Bukowski.
Okay.
Yeah. Should I spell it?
They should. If they've been watching, they should know. But you can go ahead and spell it. Hopefully,
they can get it right. Yeah. It's Corinne Bukowski. That's my name. Go check me out on Twitter and Instagram. Want to see a werewolf?
No. Okay. To see if she's going to be a Gwen Stefani werewolf or just a plain werewolf. I mean, there's no. No such thing as a plain werewolf, I don't know.
Yeah, oh, I don't know.
Well, now that you competed on The Voice, do you have any friends or family who are musically gifted, and they say, oh, hey, if Corinne does it, I can do it too, or are they hitting you up for advice if they decide to try out, or what?
My whole family's musical, but I had a cousin actually message me and say, like, oh, I'm actually thinking of auditioning now. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, sure was. You may have started a family trend here, you know?
Be the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch there. Well, anyway, Corinne, any closing remarks you'd like to say before our next caller calls in that you'd like to close it out with?
I just want to say I'm deeply humbled to be a part of this experience, and I thank God every day that I get to experience it with all such amazing people and amazing stars. It's just all incredible, and I couldn't ask for anything more.
Absolutely.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for bringing so much sunshine from the Sunshine State here with us. So thanks again for being here. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. She is just a bundle of energy, Corinne Bukowski. And we are always, you know, we need that burst of energy around here sometimes. And, you know, what better people or persons to do it than somebody from The Voice. So now we're going to bring on our next guest. It's Morgan Frazier. Okay, do we have Morgan? Good morning, Morgan. Are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi, Miss Morgan. How is the morning serving you so far?
It is awesome. I'm having a great morning.
Great morning. We just finished talking to one of your fellow contestants, Corinne Bukowski. We were trying to connect the two of you together to say good morning, but it didn't work out for some reason. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. So we have you, and that's the main thing that counts. So you are originally with Blake, and now you're with Pharrell. I understand that you are a Nashville young lady, and I used to live in Nashville, so I'm very familiar with Nashville. So is that your original hometown, or your native, or what?
I am not. I am from a little town outside of Dallas, Texas called Breckenridge, but I've lived in Nashville for 7 years, and I just love, love, love it here.
Okay, okay. Well, I'm familiar with Dallas because I grew up in Dallas, so, but anyway.
We have a lot in common.
We have a lot in common. We cannot get away from each other there. As I said, you started off with Blake, now with Pharrell. Any concerns, because Pharrell is such an icon in pop music, about him handling, you know, a country music-oriented singer? Is that a concern or what?
Well, I mean, I definitely was a little sad to leave Blake, but I think Pharrell, just anything that I feel like he gets his hands into, he is he's an amazing producer, and he knows great music. And so it doesn't really worry me all that much. I mean, he definitely told me, like, I want you to be who you are. I don't want to, like, make you see anything that you're not comfortable with seeing. And so he just made me feel right at home on the team. And, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade my time with him for anything. He's an incredible person and incredible artist. And, yeah, I'm very lucky to work with him.
Well, you went up with against Emily Ann Roberts' song, I'm That Kind of Girl.
Yes,
ma'am. Have you ever done that song before or what?
No, I'd never done that song before. I'd always loved it, and we've always, you know, me and her both have always loved Patti Loveless. So when we got that song, we were really excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think both of you, it was a tough decision. Gosh. But, hey, the good news is both of you, you know, are landed on your feet, and that's the cool thing about it. So
exactly.
You know,
that was our main thing, is to first to both go through, and we were very happy.
Yeah, very, very happy. So when they called Emily's name, I know you're obviously, you guys are friends, but, I mean, did you just say, okay, like in a quick flash, it's over, and I want to faint and cry, or what was your thought?
Definitely, I was very happy for Emily, but my heart sank as soon as you said Emily Ann. I was like, oh man, like I'm going home. Like, and all I could think is like, please, someone steal me. Like, you know. So as soon as I said those two words and Pharrell hit his button, I was just like overwhelmed and just so happy to be in the competition still. So.
Yeah. Oh, thank God for the steal. It's a good kind of steal.
I know. Oh, Lord of mercy, I know.
So after that portion was over, did you and Emily Ann, you know, later on back at the hotel, I mean, what was it like with the two of you?
Oh, I mean, we were just so overwhelmed and happy because there have been so many amazing people that had went home, and I think we were just very – I know that I was just very grateful to still be there, and she was super supportive, saying, like, you should have won. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, you were amazing. You deserve it 100%. And we're just so close, and we're such good friends that, like, you know, we were just so happy that we were still there and moving on. So.
Oh, yeah. I know your family, your fans, and your new fans, and everybody was happy. I've been looking at your social media pages, and fans are just so excited. Woo.
I know. So, it makes me so happy.
So, you know, since your time on the show, is there one particular song that you've done that is just, or this song is so challenging, and, you know, even though you got through it, is there any particular song?
I think this next song coming up was super challenging for me. It is Even If It Breaks Your Heart by Eli Young Band. And so I they're actually just released a YouTube sneak peek of it, so you can go to the Voice YouTube channel and check it out. But it was super challenging for me. It was a guy song. It's originally sung by a guy. You know, the message was super challenging to me to not get emotional while I was singing it. Keep on dreaming even if it breaks your heart. And so, yeah, that was definitely a challenge for me, but I got through it, and I'm just, you know, it came out good.
Okay. So it was the emotional challenge of the lyrics of the song and not so much the technical side of the song, or was it?
Yeah. It was mostly the emotional part of the song that was challenging for me.
Okay. Well, now, we both know how Nashville is like Music City, USA.
Absolutely.
Are you finding that... I meet a lot of people. I have met a lot of people in Nashville. They moved there, and they think that maybe Nashville is a lot easier to break into music and entertainment because it's smaller than LA or New York. But in actuality, it's a lot tougher. Nashville is tough to bust in on Music Row. It's not that easy. Did you find that out after you got there, or what?
Oh, yes. I mean, with all of the amount of talent that is in Nashville and all of the, you know, songwriters and, like, everybody is just, if you're not on your A game, you're falling behind, you know, and you're constantly, you know, trying to write songs and just, you know, do everything that you can possibly do. And it's a 24-hour job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just, you know, there's just so much competition, and how just crazy talented everyone is just amazing. And it is definitely very hard to stand out. I mean, especially being a female country artist, which I don't feel like, you know, there are very many right now. You know, there's, you know, Carrie, Miranda, and Kacey Musgraves, and that's just about it. And so it's very tough, and I think The Voice is such a great platform to kind of stand out, because, I mean, they have millions of viewers, and, you know, just getting that exposure is crazy awesome. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to try out for The Voice.
And so are you having people in Nashville recognize you from the show now, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like since it's Music City, people are kind of like, oh, cool, you're on The Voice, you know. Like, it's not like, but when I go home, it's nuts, of course, to Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go to my hometown and people are like, wah, Morgan, which is really cool. But I've definitely had a few people. I sing down at the honky tonks whenever I'm home, like 2 days a week. And I've already had people come up to me and be like, aren't you on The Voice? And I'm like,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I am, which is really cool to you know, finally be noticed. And to have people in the industry call me and say that they're watching me on The Voice, people that I wouldn't even expect, is definitely very cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is very cool. People that you probably had been trying to, in the industry, you were probably trying to get their attention forever, and now all of a sudden,
exactly.
Like, hey. Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, you're calling me. This is so cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what that's like, man. So you perform in some of the honky-tonk bars in the lower Broadway area of downtown Nashville?
I do. I perform at Tootsie's and then Honky Tonk Central. Yeah,
okay.
So I perform there. I used to perform there about 5 nights a week, and now usually it's just about 2 when I'm in town.
Okay. Yeah, well, I used to live downtown Nashville. I'm very familiar. I used to jog down Lower Broadway and on through the stadium and, you know, the area
quite
well. It's a fun area. It's a very fun area.
It really is.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. So, anyway, what would you like to say, closing it out, before we bring on your friend, Emily Ann?
Oh, yay. Well, tell her I said hi.
Okay.
I definitely would like to just say, you know, all the support that I've gotten on social media and has been, like, overwhelming and amazing. And I would definitely say, if you haven't looked me up yet, look me up on Twitter. My handle is @_MorganFrazier. And kind of follow me along and cross my fingers that I make it to the lives. And if I do, hopefully vote for me.
Vote for her. Exactly. Well, Ms. Morgan, thank you so very much for being here, a fellow hometown girl in both cities. Okay. Well,
heck yeah.
Okay. Take
thank
care
you.
Now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wow. We have Emily. Emily Ann, are you there? Hello? Oh, come on. Oh, we lost Emily Ann Roberts. I wanted to connect her and Morgan together because, you know, they competed against each other and they're friends, obviously. Love it when I can talk to somebody who is, you know, also from the area, from Nashville, and, you know, you can relate to all the sites and locations and such. So Emily Ann Roberts and Morgan competed against each other. And even though Emily Ann won, Morgan also won because Pharrell scooped her up. And we were trying to get both of them on together. Okay, let's try it again here. Okay, do we have Emily Ann Roberts on?
Yes, I'm here.
There she is. Okay.
Hi.
Hi there, Emily Ann. We were trying to connect you.
Hi.
With Morgan, your buddy Morgan Frazier. We just finished talking to Morgan, and we were trying to connect the two of you to say good morning, but something happened crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was bad. But anyway, we have you. It's your turn to be in the hot seat. I was getting Morgan's perspective on, you know, the battle you two ladies did with each other, and you, of course, won, but she also was stolen. So what was your take on the song you guys, the two of you did? And how hard was that to compete against her?
It was honestly, in my opinion, it was harder for me to do that battle than it was my blind audition, because I absolutely love Morgan, and we became so close. And that's what's so rotten about this, because you have to sing against your friends. And so it got to the point where we decided, like, we're not going to look at this as a battle. Like, we're just going to put on the best performance we possibly can. And if we sell it, like, hopefully one of us will get stolen. And so I think that was our mindset. And it helped, I think, both of us a lot, just, like, be in the moment and not focus on, like, that there's a winner and a loser, but just, like, that we wanted to put on an incredible performance. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could tell it was fun, but also a little uncomfortable, shall we say, for the both of you. But, hey, you know, you both landed on your feet, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. But just like Morgan, you're the Tennessee. You're from Knoxville. As I told Morgan, very familiar with Knoxville because I lived in Nashville for 10 years. And so you came to The Voice. What was your journey to get there? Is this your first time trying out and you made it, or what?
Well, one of the casting producers for The Voice saw my YouTube videos. So she emailed me and invited me to come to a callback audition in Atlanta. So, no, I had never tried to do a show before. I never pursued that, but it just kind of fell in our laps. So we thought, well, you know, we might as well go for it. And it's just kind of, like, moved on from there. So it's been incredible.
Well, even though you are quite young, you're only 16, I understand that you have a very deep love for traditional country music, which has, like, where is it these days? I mean, Nashville music, especially on radio, it's so pop-oriented. So how do you think you're going to – do you have a game plan as to how you're going to – you know, when they tell you as you go along, Emily, you're going to have to go with the more pop country. I mean, how are you going to deal with that?
You know, at the end of the day, I want to put out music that that if I don't feel it, and if it doesn't mean something to me, then I don't think other people will be able to feel it, you know? And so I think that it's definitely going to be difficult, and I thought about that a lot, because on the radio, the only stuff that gets played is the pop, like, stuff. Like, that's what sells right now. And so I have thought about that, and it's tough, but it's a challenge, and I like challenges, and I would rather stay true to my roots and who I want to be than just change for just to sell, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, what is some of your favorite, I know you do bluegrass country music, so what are some of your favorite bluegrass performers?
Oh, wow. I love Ricky Skaggs, and I love the band Blue Highway. And I listen to Tim O'Brien a lot. And wow, this is a hard question. I love so many. But definitely my top people. Yeah, my top people are probably like Ricky Skaggs and Tim O'Brien and people like that. I absolutely love their music, and it's timeless to me. Like, I never get sick of it.
Are people very surprised, since you're only 16, are they very surprised when they see that you have this talent for traditional country? Because they probably, you know, seeing you're cute and you're young, they would think, oh, she's going to be kind of Taylor Swift type when Taylor first started out. But are they pleasantly surprised to see you have this talent for traditional country music, or what?
Definitely. I think that it's neat for me. Some of the younger generation isn't always that into it, but like all my friends and most of my like fellow students at my school, like they love it too, and so that's awesome to get that support from them, but then also be able to reach like an older crowd too, to kind of like branch that gap, and so it's really cool, and it's funny sometimes whenever I've done competitions with older people, and they'll like go up on stage and sing like an incredible like old traditional song, and then I'll go up and they like won't take me seriously at all because they'll think I'll go up there and sing like everything that's on the radio right now, and then I'll go up there and sing like 16 Tons by Tennessee Ernie Ford or something, and they're like, oh, and then they start to take me seriously. So I kind of use it to my advantage a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, that is very old school, Tennessee Ernie Ford. Oh, my goodness. But it's still a classic great song, though. It really is. So when you sing that, oh, yeah, I know that just blows them away. So, okay, to further speak of school, what's that been like for you since people are seeing you on The Voice? I mean, you obviously must be the most popular girl in school now.
Well, my school is kind of one of the smaller schools in my area, and so we're all already really close, and so it's been crazy, and it's been absolutely overwhelming. The amount of support that I have gotten from my school and from my community has been incredible, and I'm so thankful. But it's been wild to come to school, and it's really funny. People. Like, our blind auditions are, like, pre-recorded. So, the night, I was on the second night of, like, the first week. And I guess everyone, since I wasn't on Monday, they just assumed I'd be on Tuesday. So, they were like, I left school early that day. And everyone was like, oh, are you on your way to California? And
I was like, yeah. Oh, goodness. So how hard was it for you to keep everything a secret from the kids? Oops. Did we lose her? Oh, we lost. We lost Emily Ann. We lost Emily Ann. We lost her 10 minutes. But that's okay. That's okay. Because guess what? We have Summer Chappelle waiting in the wings. Hopefully we can get her on board here without any technical difficulties. Okay, we don't have her yet. Anyway, Summer Chappelle will be next when she calls in. And it just amazes me how young some of these singers are. They're the teenagers, but they have such a level of maturity in their singing and in their, you know, their demeanor as to how they can handle all of this. So, man, I just commend them so much. We are talking to yet more of the advancing rounds of singers from The Voice. We will also be doing so tomorrow. And we just finished talking with Emily Ann Roberts, only 16, from Knoxville, Tennessee, before. But now we're waiting on Summer Chappelle to give us a call. Hopefully, she's on Team Gwen, and we can get her all plugged in here without any problems. Because sometimes problems just happen and we cannot do anything about it. Well, we still don't have her on, but maybe she'll be calling in shortly here. Tonight, The Voice continues with even more knockout rounds to see who gets to go home, to see who continues on in the program. And, man, I just hate it so badly when people have to go home. But it's part of, you know, it's part of the competition, of course. But I don't know. But anyway, we are going on here. We're waiting on our next guest to give us a call here shortly. It will be Summer Chappelle, should be, followed by Amy Vishal, then Nadja Nicole, Victor Corelli, then Braden Sunshine from Team Adam. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and chat with the twins, Andy and Alex. Unfortunately, they were eliminated last night. And like I said, it's always hard to see people get to go home. But the experiences of being on The Voice, you know, that's just priceless, priceless stuff. But I think they will be okay, more than okay. But listen, if you were a fan of these singers during the competition, continue to be their fan. You know, just because they get eliminated, don't stop communicating with them. Don't stop following them on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Just continue. If you really, really love their singing, just because they're not on the show doesn't mean that their talent went away. It's just part of the deal that the competition, you know, had to eliminate somebody. So last night, from Team Blake, Yvonne Acero defeated Chance Pena. I talked with Chance Pena yesterday, and so if you want to hear that interview, go to our archives there on iTunes and listen to that particular interview. Well, we had a lot of interviews yesterday. And then Braden Sunshine from Team Gwen defeated Ellie Lawrence last night. Team Blake's Barrett Baber defeated Blind Joe, which was a shocker to me. I just knew that Blind Joe was going to continue on. I loved his story. I loved his voice, which is, of course, what the show is all about. Also, from Team Adam, Blaine Mitchell defeated and eliminated the twins, Andy and Alex. And from Team Adam, Jordan Smith defeated Victor Corelli. And I was really kind of surprised at Victor Corelli getting defeated. But, you know, all of this is a matter of taste and style preferences, and everybody has a different opinion, you know. And so one person's opinion is different from the other one. And so we just kind of have to live with that. And we do. What else can we do? But anyway, we're going to continue on, like I said, tomorrow starting about 8 a.m. Central Time. We'll be talking to some of the remaining singers from The Voice, and we'll find out some of them who will be making the live rounds and who will be going home. Sometimes in talking to some of the contestants, I can tell who, even before it airs, I can tell from their answers who did not, who got eliminated. Of course, I won't say it because they don't want you to say these kind of things until the show airs. But you can kind of tell it. You can kind of tell. I could not tell it was Blind Joe, though. I really could. I really, really thought he. But there was a clue in one of his answers when he was talking about some performance he and his wife, or maybe it was him, did a few days ago. And so I just figured, I was like, yeah, I bet he got eliminated. But I just, you know, again, he's just such a talented guy. I just didn't think that that he got eliminated. But it happened. But anyway, we are, as they say, the show must go on it will go. And I don't know why, unless something crazy happened, we were supposed to be talking to, right now, Summer Chappelle. And so we're not talking with Summer. So we'll just move on. And in about three more minutes, we'll be talking with Amy Vishal, who, that was an interesting knockout round because it was Amy against Jubal and Amanda, the cute couple that, you know, had the wedding proposal in some of the earlier shows. So that was really like one person against two. I wonder what that was like as far as Amy is concerned. But we will ask her. But, you know, Amy won. And also we want to talk with Amy about some of the suggestions that Rihanna gave to her in that dance that Rihanna was telling Amy about to do or something. But, you know, Rihanna was one of the VIP special guests. What do you call them? Judges? Not really a judge. Trainer, mentor, person for the show last night. And everybody just went wild, as they say. The crowd goes wild. The crowd goes wild. And she was a lot to go wild over. But I got to ask Amy, how did that affect her? You know, to have a superstar like Rihanna to personally just kind of pull her aside and go, "Hey, girl, this is, you know, maybe you want to do this, this, and this instead of that, that, and that." And so, it was cute. I thought it was really cute. We will also be talking after we talk with Amy. We'll be talking with Nadja Nicole, who has got a really powerful voice. And so we're going to find out more. Nadja is with Team Blake, who Blake is just killing it every year. It seems like his people win. You know, you just can't argue with that. Nadja has a very interesting background. She was the music director at her church, and she has her dad is a military Air Force man, and she's attended military school. Yeah, has sang the national anthem and all these different events. I gotta ask her about that. And anyway, we're gonna talk with her. I really got a lot to ask her. She's a banker and a single mom. And that's an interesting combination, to go from church music director to military school and a banker and The Voice. It's all tied up into one package. And I think she is really making the best out of it, because here she is on The Voice, and we'll be talking with her. We are first going to get our first. We got to get Amy first. So hopefully we have Amy here in the wings waiting on us, and let's find out and see. All right. Good morning. It's Amy.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi, Amy.
Hello. Hello. Am I speaking to Janice?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
This is the operator. I'm calling to place you in with Amy. Will this be tape or live?
This is live right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, one moment, please. I'll place you in.
Okay. Okay, that's almost Amy. That's the conference call operator, which is always a good thing.
Good day.
Amy.
You are now placed with Janice Malone.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Janice. How are you?
I am great. It's so good to hear your voice instead of the conference call operator. Nothing against the conference call operator, because we need her too. But you are the star. You're the star of this segment, so we need you here. So, congratulations. Congratulations. Now, you had an interesting competition there. It was two against one. Did you feel that that was a little unfair or what?
In the battle round, yes.
Yeah.
This whole competition thing has been totally a new thing for me. So, you know, it took me a little while for it to set in just how much of a challenge it was actually going to be. At first I was like, oh, fun. You know, I've sung in, you know, duets before, and I've sung, you know, I was in a girl group with three of us, and we would harmonize, and I'm like, okay, this will be fun. And then, you know, getting into preparing for the song, I was like, wow, this is difficult. You know, I'm up against two, not just, you know, two soft singers either by any means. They're powerful singers, and they're just, you know, an amazing musical presence, you know, when they step on stage. So I felt, you know, pretty much like, you know, a little David against Goliath, you know, a little bit. Just
yeah.
Like, I felt like totally the underdog in that round. But you know, part of the reason why I'm on the show is to go through challenges, to be really pushed in ways that are going to stretch me. And I feel like that having to go through that definitely did.
And you came through with flying colors. Oh, my goodness. So when they first told you, when it was first announced that you had to compete and battle against two of them, I mean, what did you have the deer in the headlights look, you know, the minute they told you or what?
Well, I don't think it hit me right at first. You know, when they said, when they announced our battle partners, we were actually sitting right next to each other, and we were all in a room together. And you know, we were just, you know, we actually had taken vans from the airport to the hotel a couple times, and we'd become friends already. So we were like, oh, wouldn't that be fun if we you know, sang together? And, you know, we had a couple of those conversations before they announced it. And then they announced it, and I was like, whoa, it actually came true. Like, we're singing together. But, yeah, at first, you know, it didn't quite hit me, you know, just the fact that, you know, it was two against one. My first reaction was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I'm going to be singing with my friends, and we're going to, you know, yeah, so...
Well, hey, little did you guys know, be careful what you ask for because you might get it.
Yeah, exactly. Words of power.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell me about the suggestions that Rihanna had for you about, you know, and then when this dance thing, what was that all about for you?
Yeah, you know, Rihanna stepping on to the show as an advisor for everyone, you know, that was such a special thing. And, you know, when she comes in and when we walk onto that stage, she doesn't know anything about any of us, you know, beforehand. So, you know, she looked at my first performance of the run through of the song and had a very specific interpretation. And, you know, I think having feedback from a totally different perspective ended up totally, you know, enriching my take on the song, you know, and it, you know, while it was a little uncomfortable at times and it definitely challenged me in some real ways, I'm so grateful for all of her feedback because, you know, I really think it was helpful and actually, you know, I think while initially it kind of rattled me, you know, I think about how sometimes you need to shake hard ground before it's ready to plant something new and that can bear new fruit. And I feel like in some real regard, that's kind of what happened with her. Even though we're so different in so many different ways and we have very different perspectives, especially on a song like this, I'm so grateful for her adding to my understanding of the song.
Well, a lot of people, how about most people, do not get any feedback from people on the level of Rihanna. So, my goodness, you are definitely in the 1%. So is 1%. Wow.
Yeah, she's an amazing person, you know, amazing performer. And, you know, I'm so flabbergasted that I had the opportunity to get any feedback from someone like her and Pharrell at all. I'm still amazed.
So now, I understand that you were once a very competitive lacrosse player. I don't think I've ever met anyone that plays lacrosse. Are you still a fan of the sport or of the game or what?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I grew up a total tomboy, and you know, that's mostly due to my brother. I wanted to be just like him, and you know, he was always taking me out on the soccer field and the basketball courts. And by the time I got to high school and college, I was, you know, really into both soccer and lacrosse. And you know, I just, on the field, I've been told that I turn into like a different kind of animal. You know, I just love it. I love sports, and I love, you know, just everything about preparing for a game, which is so interesting that, you know, in many ways, all of my years of you know, training so hard at, you know, my soccer skills and my stamina and my lacrosse skills too. It's so funny how I'm starting to glean on those things in something like this, in a singing competition, because, you know, this particular opportunity requires so much of the very same things that are required of someone who steps onto a field in a competition. And so I'm kind of amazed by that, how all of those years have actually been preparing me for something like this.
Well, you know, that's an interesting comparison, because I can totally understand the same type of adrenaline, preparation, rehearsals, practice on the field of football.
Yes.
And sports. It's just, you know, sometimes the line is totally blurred. I totally get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you love both equally, or do you love one? Does it have an edge over the other as far as sports versus music with you, or what?
Love both sports and music.
Yeah. Do you love one more than the other one, or is it about the same?
Oh man, you know, I have such a passion for, you know, I guess it's just, honestly, I have such a passion for people. And, you know, the thing I love about sports is that you are pushing and being pushed by so many people in a game and in sports. And you know, you're dealing with competition, but you're dealing with kindness, and you're dealing with encouragement, and you're dealing with so many things that just bring the best out of you physically and, you know, emotionally. And, you know, with music, it's so much of the same thing for me, and for, you know, painting even too. It's just anything that can connect to people, anything that in which the actual craft of it just pushes you to strive for more. I have a passion for that, and I just have a passion for connecting to people and being inspired and hopefully inspiring people. So that's, above all, that's what drives me to do anything at all.
Well, hey, I think you're doing a more than amazing job. And we thank you for being on the show here. And you've done an excellent job with your battles and everything. We really appreciate it, and have been enjoying seeing you perform.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice. It was so nice.
Oops, we lost her. Okay, they cut us off. We lost Amy. Oh, crap. I hate it when we lose them in the middle of everything. We are awaiting for Nadja to give us a call. We got a call on our other line there. Hopefully it was not them saying that she can't make it or something crazy happening. But Nadja Nicole, that was Amy Fischel, and I think we lost her. So we're going to find out what's going on with Nadja Nicole. They should have been calling. I mean, they cut us off, so that means they should have been calling to fill that void in next. So when we come back, we're going to find out where's Nadja Nicole, and we will resume with our show. So let's take a break really fast.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
You're listening to us, Film Festival Radio, here, and we have been talking with some of the contestants, part three, from The Voice, and we are trying to find out what has happened with Nadja Nicole. We almost have an answer. Let's just play our theme song really quickly here for one more time, and we will be right back. We're trying to get an answer here.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Okay, we are back, and we have just been informed that Nadja Nicole will not be able to do our interview that was scheduled for, like, right this very minute, and it happens with a lot of people. You know, they have scheduling conflicts or personal issues that they have to take care of, but that's okay, because we'll just pal around here for the next few minutes, and Victor will be our next guest. Victor Bucali. Am I pronouncing his name right? Because, you know, I'm always messing up people's last names. If this were issued, if it was possible, hopefully this will not happen, possible to issue a ticket over, you know, like a traffic ticket or a speech ticket over mispronouncing people's last names, I would so be there. I would so be there. And I would have a lot of tickets on my hand, too. But Victor Bucali will be our next guest here on the show. He's slotted for next. And we were just, you know, he has a really interesting story, too, in that he is originally from... Got to get my notes. I thought I had. That's what I'm looking for. I usually have like 1,000 notes here on my iPad in front of me. And sometimes I need 1,001 notes because either my intern did not, you know, you can't, don't beat up on the intern. Do not beat up on the intern. For those of you out there who work with interns and who've been interns, that's why they're interns, because they are helping, you know, learning, and they can't get everything correct all the time. Neither can us. But Victor Corrali, right, was stolen by Gwen, and anyway, Team Adam, Jordan Smith, Victor, Jordan won. Jordan sang Set Fire to the Rain. Victor did If I Ain't Got You, and he was stolen by Gwen. So we're going to be chatting with Victor to, you know, just to hear his story, to hear about his journey on this crazy thing called The Voice. How did he get here? And how did he, you know, what's next? And how hard is it to watch the show after you've taped? You know, they do this show for several months. It's not like they, you know, just do it for a little while, a couple of weeks or a week, and then go on about their business. They are, like one of the singers said that she's been working with the show since February of this year. So that's nearly a year. That's a long time. And then to, you know, if you get eliminated, and to have to leave after spending almost a year of your life here, that's tough. that's very tough, and I don't want that. But it happens, and there's nothing we can do about it. But I was supposed to talk to Victor yesterday. He is originally from Budapest, Hungary. I don't know why I wanted to think he was from Bulgaria for some reason, but he's originally from Budapest, Hungary, and very interesting story. He now lives in upstate New York, and it's been a journey for him. It's a journey for all of them. It is a total journey for everyone concerned, and everybody's journey is not the same, of course, and it might be a little bit different, but if you want to go about this stuff, it's entertainment stuff, you have to be dedicated to it. I know that your journey is not going to be the exact same as the other person's journey. And it took me a long time to accept that. I don't know if I'm still, I think I'm still having problems with accepting it now, but that's another whole story. But as I said, Victor Corrali will be our next guest because Nadja Nicole could not make it. Victor has played drums. He's a drumist. Drummer? Is it drumist or drummer? I think it depends on the person. I think the standard is drummer. But anyway, Victor played drums in a lot of garage bands. But when he moved back to his home country of Hungary, that's when he discovered that he had this voice to sing. And he's been quite successful over in his native country of Hungary. And so I got to ask him, I don't know, does the voice air in Hungary or not, in Budapest? We'll find out and see. We'll ask Victor about all of that, all that great stuff. So the voice is so international. You know, it's in, of course, it's in Japan, it's in Australia, it's in Canada, it's London. I know it's in Africa, different parts of Africa, and probably Italy, but it is totally an international scope of a show. And I'm sure it is in Hungary. We'll just ask Victor when we should be in about another few minutes here. Oh, no, a few seconds here. Okay, good morning, Victor.
Good morning.
We have you here. Well, we were just talking about, we were just talking about you, you know, you were stolen, and that's probably the first time in your life you were happy about a steal, something being stolen, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely, definitely I was happy about being stolen. I mean, who wouldn't be happy about, you know, getting stolen to Gwen Stefani's team, you know?
Okay.
So, I was definitely stoked.
And only were you stolen, but you were stolen by a gorgeous gal, so that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So what are some...
Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. Not bad to look at, not a bad to listen to, none of the above here. So what is she telling you? What's the stuff she's been telling you about singing and performing?
Well, I mean, I haven't actually had the opportunity yet to really get into depth with a conversation with Gwen yet. I'm really hoping that, you know, very soon I will be. But,
okay.
I mean, so far when we talked a couple of times, I mean, she's really, really getting into the whole fact that she really likes the fact that I'm a seasoned singer. So she thinks that's a big plus. It's a big advantage. She really she says that she likes seeing me move on stage. She likes how I hold myself on stage, and she just likes the whole, I don't know, I think what I give off on stage. And I'm really happy that, you know, a person like Gwen Stefani likes that. So,
oh yeah.
I'm totally excited about this whole situation, to be honest. So,
well, as I was telling everybody, you are originally from Budapest, your original home country, and you have a lot of popularity there. So is The Voice shown in Budapest or how do they do that? Or is it on delay?
No, and just to get just a little bit correct information, I'm born in America, so I was born in New York,
oh.
So my home country is America.
Okay.
So I'm a born and raised New Yorker from Long Island, and when I was 16, I moved to Budapest, Hungary. It's my mother's mother country. So,
okay.
But yes, when but in 2000 when I moved to Budapest. I wasn't really, you know, doing music professionally, only as a hobby. I was a, you know, garage band drummer, garage band singer. And after a while, I started gaining rapidly popularity. I was also in a talent show in Hungary. So it really, really, really worked out in Hungary, and I'm very, very grateful about, you know, the whole situation I have in Hungary, and they're super supportive of this whole competition. But, you know, to be totally honest, like, as in voting and stuff like that, it doesn't really come into consideration because they can't vote, so everything is restricted in Hungary. So they just have my my back, you know.
They got your
they're
back.
Supporting
okay.
me. They got my
but
back.
But they can see the show, or do they see it online only, or what?
They can see the show if they are able to get some sort of streaming, because
okay.
NBC is restricted in Europe, in Hungary, not Europe.
Oh,
so if they
Hungary.
Get some sort of internet streaming, then they can watch it at like 2 o'clock in the morning their time. So I'm totally pleased with the Hungarian crowd, because last night I was getting phone calls for them. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and they were watching. So it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, hey, you talk about you got your back. I mean, that's sheer dedication to
yeah,
get
right?
up at 2 a.m., you know, to support somebody.
I know,
that's
right?
Great.
I know,
that's
right?
really, really great.
I know.
So,
I'm so thankful. It's crazy.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Well, do you have plans after all, everything is said and done? Do you have any plans to go over and do any shows or what with the voices, you know, when it's behind you?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, it's always been, as I mentioned in a bunch of my backstories, that it's always been a dream to me. I know it sounds weird, but since I was born in America, but since I moved to Hungary, I lived there for 15 years. So, you know, I kind of got out of the loop of the whole, you know, the American vibe and the whole, you know, the music business. So it's always been a dream to me to, you know, to come to America and try to, you know, make it here, you know, as anyone else would try to make it here. And so I'm really taking advantage in a positive way of what The Voice can give me, you know, during the show and after the show. I'm really hoping I can reconnect even more with my Long Island buddies, you know, my buddies from New York City. They're all supporting me so very much right now, and it's so great. I even got a phone call from Great Neck, my hometown. The local newspaper called me up for a, you know, an interview, and I was like, oh my God, I wish this was in high school. And so it's really awesome, and I hope I can get the chance to you know, positively take advantage of this whole situation and do a lot of gigs in New York. I had one gig. It was about 4 days ago in East Village, and it was super duper fantastic. I mean, it was a total full house. It was really good, really good.
Well, obviously everybody recognized you from being on The Voice, and that's always
yeah,
a good
I guess
thing.
So.
It's always a
yeah.
good thing. So, handling this newfound popularity, because I know your social media pages are probably exploding as well. How are you handling it?
Oh, yeah.
What is it like being recognized now?
I always found this to be a positive thing. It can come to a point where it's a little bit chaotic, and you know, haters are going to hate. So there's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, haters everywhere. But I'm very surprised that I hardly have any haters. You know, maybe after saying this, I'm going to have some haters, but I really don't have that many, which I'm very, very surprised about, and I'm very, very happy about that. But other than that, I mean, my father always used to tell me, you know, when I first started doing this whole business, is that, like, you know, don't let, you know, fans or anything bother you, because, you know, if there weren't any fans, that would be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
So I really appreciate the fact that, you know, this is blowing up and it's chaotic. And I spend a lot of time answering, you know, emails, Twitter, tweets, Instagram comments. I spend actually a lot. So I spend too much time. I'm like up to like 4 o'clock in the morning. So
oh, my gosh, yeah.
I try to get there. Yeah.
Well, now, you and Jordan Smith competing against each other, it was, you know, it was the ultimate battle of the people who can hit these extremely high octaves. Wow. I mean,
Thank you.
Just looking at both of them, I'm like, man, how do they do that? It's just, what?
I mean, Jordan is for sure. What Adam was saying, he gave him his title as Unicorn, the Unicorn. It is 100% correct. I mean, Jordan Smith is literally out of this world. He's an alien. I was so honored because, you know, we didn't know that who was going to be, you know, who we're going to go up against. So while I was walking on stage, I saw Jordan coming up the other side, and all I can think to myself, I'm like, oh, no. So I was like, oh, this is going to be hard. So it was very funny, but, you know, at the same time, I'm a very positive person. I'm always optimistic. So at the same time, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad situation to go up to against Jordan Smith because, you know, he's one of the best singers on this competition. So, you know, that means a lot to me. I feel honored to be on the stage, you know. And I'm very happy how the whole thing came out. So I think both of us got, you know, complimented very much. And I went off the stage totally happy. So, and I think Jordan did too. And Jordan was super nice that he was cheering for me, you know, after I got stolen. That was so sweet of him because I didn't even see that because I was on stage. So that was awesome.
I've talked to several of you singers who have shared their insight on, you know, it seems probably like a long second in your mind, but the very second before you find out you are going to be stolen, the second before that, when you think you're going home, how does that, for you, describe that feeling when you thought you were going home?
Well, I mean, it's not a good feeling. So it's not a good feeling because, you know, when you start a competition like this, I mean, your first goal is to get through blinds. Now, you know, that's a really big one. To get through blinds, and I was super happy that I got a 4-chair turn, and I was just happy with the whole situation. But you know, after the next step is to get into lives, and so basically, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, oh no, I just want to get into lives, you know, why can't I, you know, go one more round? It'll be so cool. So I had these thoughts in my head, and I didn't want it to be over so quickly, you know, but they were not. They were totally just towards myself, so it wasn't towards, you know, my competitor and everything like that.
Sure.
But I was totally happy for Jordan. He deserves it. I mean, he's fantastic. And, that's all I was thinking about, is that I just don't want to go home yet.
So do you two still, tweet and Instagram with each other or what?
Oh, yeah, with Jordan, he's a hilarious guy. So he's not only a good singer, but he's like a comedian. I mean, he's so funny. And we just laugh at each other's tweets.
Wow, we don't know what that was. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah,
but
that was weird.
That was really strange.
So basically, we have inside jokes. We have videos that we created during knockouts and stuff like that, and we post that, and we kind of laugh at each other, so it's fun.
Okay, that's all that matters. You two are still in communications, and great experience, great performances. Before they shut me off, since you are a Long Islander, the Mets, the World Series, what are your thoughts?
You know, I don't really have any thoughts right now on it, but I'm sure I'm gonna be watching. I'm gonna be following it. I think it's a super thing, and you know, I'm rooting right now. I'm rooting for both, you know. So.
Okay, rooting for both. Well, anyway, they're telling me that I have to go, but thank you so much for
sharing, giving us
insight, and hey, good luck with everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, and thank you for calling. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay. Do we have Braden on board?
Yes. Hi. Was that Victor I just heard?
Yeah, Victor. We were trying to connect the two of you, and we couldn't do it. It just shorted out on us and all that. But, hey, we got you, and, man, I feel like I want to say, hey, you're going to Disneyland. Braden, you're going to the live rounds.
That's honestly, at this point, I think that's almost better than Disneyland.
I think it is. When did it really sink in for you that I'm going to the live rounds? I mean, the impact of it.
Well, I can tell you it's a lot of fun because you get to work with these people for, you know, rapid fire times. We have to do a new song every week, and it is a bit more rapid fire, but that means everything's more condensed, and honestly that's a bit more what I'm used to, because I used to do these programs where we would put on a show within 5 days, so I mean it's that kind of deal. So stuff being more condensed and like rapid fire stuff is actually to me it's really fun, so I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
And so how are you doing anything special to prepare yourself for this or what? For the live show?
Don't get sick. That's a big
that
one.
Helps. That helps. Don't get sick.
I don't know. I think just don't get sick and be positive as you possibly can, because there's nothing negative about this. Honestly, the fact that we're out here and the only thing negative is what you think is negative, and there is really nothing. So, I think those are the, there's got to be some more, but I can't think of it right now.
Now, you are still a freshman in high school, is that correct, or what?
Sophomore.
Oh, you're a sophomore. Okay, that gives me some, well, maybe the information again. So you're a sophomore in high school. So how hard has this been to keep what you're doing with the voice? How hard was it to keep it a secret from everybody or your school-age buddies and such?
There were some bribes. I was bribed a lot of food.
Bribed.
Yeah, to divulge the secrets of the voice. But I tried to keep it a secret, but it's hard when you have a bunch of teenagers coming up to you like, hey, what happens? What happens? I'm like, I can't say anything. You got to watch.
And I know they are obviously watching. I find it amazing that you're not even 18 and you've already played in over 300 live shows. So I guess, I mean, even though it is live television, doing 300 live shows, this is going to be a piece of cake for you, or will it?
Well, that's the thing. When I walked out for the blinds, I thought, you know, it's only 500 people. But when I got out there, I realized there's cameras. And I'm like, this isn't 500 people. This is a couple million people. This is a bit tougher than I thought. So I started freaking out a bit. But after a while, I started getting comfortable. I think the knockout's when I was most comfortable so far. And I just kind of want to get better at that. Because I feel the more comfortable I am on stage, the better I can do. And that's always been a problem of mine. I've always been nervous. So I need to not be nervous.
Well, has your team coach, have you expressed that, you know, you sometimes have a bit of a stage fright? Have you shared that? And any suggestions from the coach or what? From Gwen?
Well, she's noticed over the past two times in practice when I've not been super comfortable in my own skin. And I've gotten a lot better at that at this point.
Okay. And so what did she tell you to help you to relax about that?
She basically just says, just go out there, wherever the music takes you, just use that and emote and do stuff like that. She basically says, let go of anything that you're holding back.
And just let it rip. Like a tidal wave or something.
Yeah.
Well, I find it even more unique, you know, with your ability to sing so well and to be so young, that you suffer, you know, you mentioned earlier, you said, you know, make sure that as part of your preparation that you don't get sick. And then I just want to let everybody know that you have a severe asthma problems, but you could never, never tell that from looking at you perform like that. So, for people who may be listening, maybe they have asthma problems. I mean, do you do anything special to combat and help you cope with asthma and singing and your breathing and all that?
Well, that's one of the reasons I don't really run around on stage that much. But one of them's also I am kind of sketchy about that. I'm not the best stage performer. But that's one of the things I'm looking forward to during the lives, because Gwen is a good stage performer, and I hope some of that rubs off. But, no, not really. I mean, I wish I could tell you there's some magical thing I do when I get lungs the size of a whale, but nah, I'm working on it, but there's nothing there yet. Just proper breathing technique.
Just proper breathing. Well, I know they obviously have vocal coaches working with you guys as well. So, for you personally, what's been the most difficult part of the show? You mentioned that, was it, you said, the blind auditions were tough, but, you know, was there something else in addition to the blind, after getting on there, on the show?
I think the toughest part, not competition-wise, I mean, honestly, personally, I don't think of it as a competition. I think of it, or I do, but at the same time, I like to think of it as just something fun, something where people can get together and sing the best they can. And yes, people go home, but I try not to think about that part. I think the toughest part of this entire process was the battle rounds, because we worked with Lindsay every day, if not every other day, and she's like a sister to me. I mean, we still talk all the time, and seeing her go home is something that tore me apart for quite a while. That's the way this goes. But I think that was definitely the hardest part, just emotionally, because seeing someone who you've made a connection with go home, that sucks a lot.
Just a good friend like that. Yeah, that's totally understandable. I get it all the way. So is there any particular song that so far in competition that you've done that it wasn't really your favorite, but even though it helped you to advance to the live shows, any particular song?
Wasn't really my favorite. I don't know. I didn't know the battle song until the night before the practice. So we practiced for about 2 hours before we went to bed, and then practiced for about 2 hours before the actual taped with Gwen. So we didn't know the song before that. But I did like that song. That's the thing. So I don't know if there's any songs that I didn't like that much. But because she is good at picking the songs. But if there was one that was interesting because I didn't know it beforehand, it would be that one.
Oh, okay. Well, is there one in particular that you performed that you really do like?
I really liked Mountains for the first one. Actually, there's a story about that, but I'll tell you in a sec. And I really liked Feeling Good, because that's one that I haven't really done that kind of song before. And I thought it'll be kind of risky, but I haven't sung it on stage, that's what I should say. But in my room, I sing old stuff like that. Because that's originally a Nina Simone song, so I sing like stuff from that era all the time in my room. And I thought, you know, I could turn out well. Because from what I do in my room, I'm like, hey, this isn't bad, so I'll try it. So I knew it was a risk going into it, but I think it turned out pretty well.
I think it did, too. Because, hey, you're moving on to the live rounds. And so what is your schedule like for the rest of this week? Is it lots of rehearsals or what?
Honestly, I don't even know. Because they give you, it's day by day.
So you can kind of kick around, play video games, you know, pizza.
I wouldn't say that, but
so
I wish
it
was that. I could just, if it was like a vacation, that would be amazing. No schoolwork, just singing with a bunch of friends. But no, it is a fair amount of work, I got to tell you.
Yeah, but don't you guys have tutors, the ones who are still in school, they have on the set or something like that?
We do.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you're right. It's still school time. But at least you know in a few days it's going to be showtime and the whole world will be watching you and the rest of your buddies there. You know, as you advance on in the live rounds. The live rounds are my favorite part of the show. Really, it's like
they're
a playoff. Yeah, it's just all fun. Well, anyway, I thank you for sharing some insight about the show, Braden, and, you know, again, congratulations for going and moving on to the live rounds, and we'll be watching you with the rest of the world. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, have fun now.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, how can you not have fun? I mean, I know it's a competition, but if you can sing your heart out like a lot of these competitors, these singers, like Braden Sunshine, why not have fun? He's still a teenager. He's still in this real fun phase of life. Plus, he's on The Voice. And man, couldn't get too much better than that. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in about 12 minutes or so. And we'll chat with our final guest, Andy and Alex, the twins. And unfortunately, they were eliminated, but the applicants blame Mitchell. And there's lots of things I want to talk with them about that whole situation. So just hold on. We'll be back. We're going to wrap it up after them, and we'll see you guys. Well, we'll talk about that later. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will be chatting with the twins, Alex and Andy, who were eliminated. So hang with us back in about 10 minutes or so.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com. Oh.